Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? God gave us the Holy Communion for our healing, our well-being. And the way He designed it, He gave us something to put our focus on. And these sheets of matzah bread that He gave us are a big square of bread like that. And we're supposed to see Jesus in this bread. And see His sacrifice. See what He went through in His passion. That's how we discern the body of Christ. See, the communion should be something very exciting for you. It should never be something that's treacherous. But it should be full of excitement and expectancy. So when we look at this bread, we notice that it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a single mistake, ever. And we'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that He was beaten for our iniquities, and He is wounded for our transgressions. And you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. Jesus got scourged. And He got whipped on His back. And that was for our healing. Also, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And we get redemption in some area through that shed blood. Not only was His body pierced when He was on the cross, and that Roman soldier thrust a spear into His side. But also, His body was pierced when He got a crown of thorns. And His body was pierced when He got nails in His hand. And His body was pierced when He got nails in His feet. Every time His body was pierced, He shed blood, and it was for us. Also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, that judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. That's why in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it tells us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus took the full brunt of it. He took the full curse of the law upon Him so that we could walk free. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for the shed blood of Jesus. This blood of Jesus is so pure. Since He never sinned, His blood never got contaminated. And it's actually the blood of God that was flowing through His veins. And He shed that blood to make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood of Jesus, that blood that never dies, that we are continually washed from all sin, according to 1 John 1:7. We walk in the light as He. If you walk in the light as He is, as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. So, Father, we thank You for this. We honor the blood, and we thank You in Jesus' name. There is one appointment that doesn't have to be confirmed, and that's Holman. And that's really got him tore up. Thank God. You know, we are taking this country back, but we're taking the world back. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, it tells us, "The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." You are the head and not the tail. You are above only and not beneath. You have been blessed. And when you got born again, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you've been seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You know, we get bombarded, and all of our lives we've been bombarded with just horrible things. You know, a horrible government, horrible legal system, a whole bunch of things that have been against us for a long, long time. And it's hard to it's hard to picture yourself sometimes as being the head and not the tail. You know, have you ever wondered why super rich people have walked away unscathed? They broke the law, obviously, in front of people, and they walked away unscathed. And then some small guy did some little thing, and they just ruin his life. See, we've had a stacked legal system for a long, long time. That's about to change. Did you know that we're headed right straight into a one world government? Now, there are two trains of thoughts on this now. There's the bad side of it, which we're not headed to. They're trying to get us there, but we're not headed that way. The Bible tells us that the government will rest on Jesus' shoulders. He is going to set His kingdom up on this earth. And we've been through some horrible battles. We just got a few more battles to go through. And then things are going to change drastically. We're not going back to the way it used to be. It's not going to be the old normal. A whole new kingdom. A whole new way of doing things. That's a good thing. You know, God set up a system on this earth the way He wanted things done. And Adam evidently was the one that received that. And then Adam made a mistake. He sinned, and he handed his authority over to Satan. Just look at that. Genesis chapter 2. verse 26. No. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Think about that for just a second. See, sometimes people have a second-rate image of themselves, and we have to stop and understand we really, truly have been created in the image and likeness of God. Whether you're born again or not. See, now that's why it's important that we understand why it's important to love other people. See, even though they're not born again, they need to be born again. And they're not going to react very well to harsh treatment. But they will respond to love. They will respond to kindness. Now, this is one of the problems. See, you being made the head and not the tail, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One of the things that happens in this world is we get bombed with intimidation, manipulation, and domination. We have had a steady onslaught of that all of our lives. There's nobody in here that has not been encountered with that. Now, one of the things about the church operating in love is we get hit with manipulation. You know, you might call it gaslighting. See, there's a whole denomination that it just went completely off in the left field. And they decided they were going to support gay weddings and gay pastors and abortions and all this other stuff. But here's what their basis is. They said, "You told us to love everybody, so we did." We did tell you to love everybody. We did not tell you to condone their lifestyle. See, the Bible tells us to love other people. That doesn't mean that we have to agree and condone what they're doing. I love our neighbors. I don't agree with their lifestyle. See the difference? But a lot of denominations, a lot of different people, a lot of different groups have decided, well, we're going to love everybody and we're going to accept them the way they are. We do love people, we do accept them the way they are, but we don't support what they're doing. We love the sinner, we hate the sin. See how we get gaslighted? All the time. People try this with me, they'll say, "You're a pastor. You're supposed to love me." I said, "I do. That doesn't mean that I'm going to let you manipulate me into doing something stupid, like giving you money." And one lady one time, I had helped her once. Her house caught on fire and I helped her with the bill so she could kind of get going again. So then I ran into her at the store and I remember I was over by the meat section. I remember this just as clear as day. I was walking over there and she come walking up to me and she had two handfuls of lottery tickets in her hands. And she came up to me and she said, "I can't afford a lawnmower and I can't afford to pay somebody to come mow my lawn. Will you pay somebody to come mow my lawn?" No, I don't think so. But you're a pastor. Yeah, I am. That doesn't mean I'm a sucker or a fool. See, you're not a doormat. Just because you got born again, that did not make you a doormat. There's a lot of church that acts like that. There's a lot of church that is picking up this idea where we're supposed to turn the other cheek. You know, turning the other cheek, somebody says something bad about you, yeah, whatever. Go on with your life, go get busy, go do what you got to do. Somebody tries to dominate you, you fight like a rabid coon. You don't ever, under any circumstances, bow your knee to intimidation, manipulation, or domination. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are the head and not the tail. You do not bow your knee to those three things. You know, those three things are witchcraft. That's why bullies have such a hard time with me. And I've ran into probably more bullies in the church world than I have in the oil field. But I deal with them all the same. And they don't like to bully me. They stop. I won't be intimidated. I won't be manipulated. And I won't be dominated. You know, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 helps us a lot with the intimidation thing. And it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord. See, there's some things that you need to get wrote on your heart. There's, you know, Jesus, when he got confronted by the devil out in the wilderness, he used the word of God, and he said, it is written. You know something? You should have some it is written in your heart. You know, somebody goes to talking bad about you, you just start saying these things. The Lord will cause my enemies that rise up against me to be defeated before my face. They come out against me one way and flee before me seven ways. See, there's always going to be somebody out there trying to intimidate you. Always. I don't care how high up the ladder you get. There's always going to be somebody trying to intimidate you. Ask Trump. He's been through 8 years of people trying to intimidate him. Well, we go through the same thing. Your boss may try to intimidate you. How many people got intimidated into taking the vaccines? If you don't take the vaccine, you're fired. Did you know that was against the law? That was 100% against the law. Anybody that ended up getting the vaccine to keep their job should file a lawsuit immediately. That was 100% against the law. That's intimidation. But see, we get trained, we start getting trained to obey the intimidation. You know, they start trying to train us from a young age to just be blind little sheep and follow along. And that's not what God intends for us. You know, there's an interesting set of scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're not going to see the end of his government. In fact, it tells us right there, we're going to see an increase in his government. You know, Oklahoma already decided they were going to start teaching the Bible in their schools, their public schools. Yeah. Texas is about to start teaching the Bibles in their schools. You know, originally, you know, the very first book printed in America was the Bible, and it was intended for school literature. He's getting his kingdom set back up the way he wanted it. We've been through a terrible ride. And part of it is the church spent a lot of time turning the other cheek. Sitting in the pews wishing somebody would do something. Somebody did do something. They boiled the frog slow. They brought us along a little at a time, a little bit at a time. You know, when I was a kid, socialism was a cuss word. The only time I ever heard that word in my house, my dad had several really big cuss words that followed it rapidly and intensely. And I just said, I'm going to stay away from that word. I don't know what it is, but I ain't going there. Well, it was such a shocking word for such a long time. They had to change the name to progressive. There's no difference between progressive and socialism. But see, we got boiled into this slow. A little bit at a time. But we're getting awake a little bit at a time. People are starting to see the truth. They're starting to understand what happened. And we're starting to find out what true history really was. You know, one of the things about the Civil War, everybody says it's all about slavery. You know what was really bugging the South? The North had picked up some crazy religious ideas. And they were afraid they were going to push those off into all of the government and into all of the nations. So they said, no, we're going to stop this right here. That was their number one concern. They didn't want that crazy religious system coming, but it came with a lot of bloodshed, but they did stand up. Not many of the church is willing to stand up. I just talked to a guy yesterday that didn't vote because he thought Trump was too friendly with Catholics. All I could think of, well, Kamala is super friendly with Satanists. Yeah. See, you know, one of the strongest narcotics known to mankind is religion. And I've told people this so many times, you need to take your doctrine and set it aside. Put your doctrine to the side and read the Bible for what it says. Because if you take your doctrine into your Bible study time, you're going to only read what you believe. When we're supposed to believe what we read. See, if all you ever read is what you believe, you're going to stay stagnant in your Christian growth. But if you'll believe what you'll read, you'll keep on continuing to get more and more revelation. And you'll wake up more and more every day. You're going to wake up more and more to the truth. More and more to what's been happening to us in this world. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been in a very evil world for a long time. But the truth is coming out. And one thing that Jesus did say, he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, the truth has been hidden from us for a long time. But we're getting more and more of it now that the mainstream media is not our only news source. Now we've got access to a lot of truth. And some of it's overwhelming. That's why people need to, this is why the waking up seems to be a little bit slow. As people have to wake, the same way they got boiled slow, they got to cool off slow. Because everybody just got all this truth dumped on them at one time, it would shock them into not wanting to go forward. And I've been studying it for a long, long, long time. And I've been waiting for this day. So I'm excited. It's going to be really good. I really think that we're right on the verge of celebrating our very first Jubilee. Have you ever thought about that word, Jubilee? You know, you don't hear about it being talked about much. But Jubilee was a big thing in the Bible. God gave them very specific directions on how to celebrate the Jubilee. It's supposed to be every 7 years and then every 49 years. And what happened in the Jubilee was everybody's debts were forgiven. If they lost lands, they got it returned. But there was some evil people that got control of the system, and they didn't want us to know about a Jubilee. They didn't want us to know that this was something biblical that was possible. It's going to happen. And in fact, it already is happening in some places. It's happening right now. And some of the evil people are being removed. Systematically. You don't see it advertised on the newspapers or on the mainstream media. But some very big name people are being removed. Rothschild type people. Rockefeller type people. They're being removed from the scene so that we can be set free. You got to understand, we've been held bondage by people that were operating for the devil. But that's coming to an end. And I believe we're going to see this debt jubilee happen. I don't know when, but it's soon. And also, I believe we're real close to a millennial reign. Which is real good news. Can you imagine how wonderful this place? This is a cool place anyway. This earth is really a cool place. But can you imagine how wonderful this place would be when the devil's chained up in the pit for 1,000 years out of our way? I mean, his curse is taken out of the way. How cool would it be to walk out in your lawn barefoot without striking a goat head or a grass burr? It would be pretty fun to be able to ride around out there without crashing into cactus. I'm a little concerned about the mesquite tree. I don't really want all that to go away because we cook with that. But the things of the curse go away. How neat would it be if all these diseases that the devil created disappeared? It'd be pretty fun to not get gray-headed and wrinkle-faced. It'd be really fun to walk around without a limp. All things are possible with God. We still got a little ways to go, but we are getting there. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. So strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with the recompense, he will come and save you. There is a day of reckoning for these evil people that have been operating this government that we've been under. They are going to pay a heavy price. God is going to save us. Now, we've talked about this before. Salvation, you know, it's not just being born again, you know, you go to heaven. You know, when you get born again, you are going to go to heaven, so you are saved in that sense. But if you're not done being healed, delivered, protected, prospered, taken care of, then you're still being saved right here. And then when you see Jesus face to face and he completes your redemption, you will be saved. So you are saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. See right here, he's coming to save us. Also, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. There is a lot of people that have not been able to see what has truly been going on in this world. Their eyes have been blinded. They've been blinded to the truth. Maybe they didn't want to see it. Maybe they've been taught to look away. Some of them have been so educated to the point where they can't see it. Some of them won't listen to the truth. Some of them won't listen to what's been happening. But their eyes are going to start seeing what's been happening and their ears are going to hear it. Everybody's going to go through this transformation. Every one of them. Just like everything else in life, you can make this ride as smooth as glass, or you can make it just as rough as you want it. And it's going to be your choice. The way to make it smooth is to start studying, start finding out what's been happening, start opening your eyes to what's been going on, start listening to what people have been saying, start listening to what has happened, what's really been happening. Turn off CNN, NBC, Fox, all that nonsense. Get rid of that. Do you know those guys are paid to lie to you? I really liked watching a clip the other day. One of the ladies on the Five was trashing somebody, and all of a sudden somebody come in there and handed her a sheet of paper. She said, "You're going to read this right now." And it was a disclaimer. And she went ahead and read the full story on that guy. Things are changing. We're going to start hearing the truth. We're going to start seeing the truth. And we're going to start knowing the truth. See, you are in this world. You're not of this world. You belong to a whole different kingdom. You know, down here, verse 6 says, "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." You know, if people are willing to look, they'll find what's been going on. Out in the desert, in the Middle East, out in a hardcore desert, there was a rock that got tipped over in a spring. A big spring came up and it just created a river out in the desert. Just out of nowhere. It snowed in Saudi Arabia. Things are changing. Our whole world is changing. Not only spiritually, but even our physical world is changing. With the polar shift, it's doing really strange things. I don't know, have you ran into this yet, Jim, where you had to change coordinates on your airplane, you know, for an airport? Because some of them have changed so much that if you type in the coordinates that they used to have, you won't get to the runway. The polar north has shifted so far to the east till our coordinates are changing. They had to change the names of some of these runways, the coordinates. Things are changing. And it's going to get really, really good for us here pretty soon. We just got to hang in there for a little bit. But one thing we got to do is make sure that we keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, part of the manipulation thing is the Bible says that the light of the Lord, the light of His Word, is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet. So whatever we hear, we need to weigh that against the Word of God. And if it's not lining up with what He says, don't buy into it. I don't care how religious it may sound. If it's not the truth, it's not the truth. Verse 6 says, "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." It's going to be nice when the parched land becomes lush. We could use some water. We could use some rain right here. You know, one of the things about manipulation is our weather patterns have been manipulated. And that's where some of these crazy storms have come from and crazy droughts have come from. That's going to be taken out of the way. These fanatic people have done everything they could to get us to buy into climate change. Well, they started the global warming, then they couldn't prove that, and they said, well, climate change. I ran into them guys all the time. They said, don't you believe in climate change? I said, yes, I believe in climate change. There's never been a time in history that the climate hasn't changed. But it's not what you're talking about. And if you think me putting a diaper on my cow is going to change anything about your climate situation, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18, verse 2, and we'll finish up with this. Well, let's start at verse 1. This will help with the domination. See, the government has really wanted to try to move this country into a full-blown communist nation so they could completely dominate us. And there's been some people that they have dominated. You know, they'll ruin their lives. You know, the people that really didn't do anything wrong ended up in prison. You know, the only thing they really did wrong was stand up. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You know, doesn't the Bible tell us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? We don't have to be strong in and of ourselves. We just need to be strong in the Lord. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the United States government has been your enemy for a long time. That sounds pretty un-American, doesn't it? Not really. Sounds more American than anything I could say. Our founding fathers stood up to the government. They found them to be the enemies to the people. And they set this nation up in such a way that we could live in freedom. Not only freedom, but in liberty. And then we got dumbed down. And we let these liberties and these freedoms slip away little by little. They chipped away a little bit. But we're taking them back. But the Lord is your rock and your salvation. That's who we trust in, not a man. What we're going through is much bigger than the government. What we're going through is much bigger than any man could pull off. Only Jesus could do this. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for your Son, who died on the cross for us, who shed his blood and set us free. Father, we ask you, in the name of Jesus, to show us how to walk in the law of liberty, walk in the law of faith, and walk in the law of love. Teach us about this daily. Father, give us more and more revelation of this. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.